A couple of Shabbosim ago, had a Shabbaton in the house, did a question and answer, and Lemaisa, the first year guys from the Halacha Seder, they took a look at the printout of the question and answers and picked out a couple of the questions which they thought were interesting. One of the ones that they picked, which is what I did last week, and the first one or the second one that I did on the Shabbos, very important question. Take it with a grain of salt, but this is the question. I've heard the Rosh Yeshiva say that a bachur does not need to be happy in yeshiva, and then he brings a proof saying that nobody in Harvard seemed to care if they were happy. What's the pshat? Most people seem to say that it's important to be happy with one's surroundings and matzav, etc. So what's the pshat? Maisa, the answer is a very important answer, not just B'teres being machkem es rabbi of trying to understand what the Rosh Yeshiva was really saying, but because I think that the answer to this question, once you frame it in the right way and get the proper perspective, it's not really a question at all, but it's something that we have to live with every single day and how we look at life. So I decided that, for the shiur tonight, since it really plays very much into a topic that I've been working on in this week's parsha anyway, so we'll make this the topic of the shiur, and Be'ezer Hashem, by the end, after we hear the whole shtickle Torah, get back to answering the question. And for me, it's a little bit spooky that it's always around this time of year, the beginning of Kislev, that I always get this tremendous taiva to go back and to start to listen or study, read some of Rav Moshe Shapira's old shiurim. For those of you who don't know who Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal was, just a little bit of an introduction. Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal was a goyin atzum, and that's an understatement, in every aspect of Torah. He was just a very, very scary individual. When you would listen to him speak, you would feel, or you do feel, if you listen to it on a tape even, you feel that's how Moshe Rabbeinu must have sounded when he was, talking outside of the Mishkan, or when he was, when he was up at Har Sinai. The clarity, the depth, it's just mind-boggling. And you don't always understand everything, but you always walk away awed. And so I gave in to my taiva this week, and I listened to a shiur or two on Parshas Vayetze. And I want to share with you at least a chunk of what I think I did understand, because I think it's very, very practical, and it talks to this inyan. Talks to this inyan of what it really means to be happy, and how you become happy, and why in Harvard they weren't happy, or they didn't care if they were happy. It all goes back to the same point. Parsha starts off, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayelech Charan. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, he goes to Charan, vayifka b'mokoyim vayolin shom kibo ha-shemesh, he hits Hara Maria, he stays overnight, vayikach me'avne ha-mokoyim, he took from the stones of the place, the Mokom HaMikdash, Vayasim Rashesav, he puts it under his head, Vayishkov Bamakim Ahu. Rashi brings the Medrash, points out the problem already. What are you talking about? Vayikach me avne hamakim, that he took from the stones, plural, of the place, and he slept on the stones. At the end of the story, Yaakov gets up, Vayashkim Yaakov Abaikar Vayikach Eso Evan Asher Sami Rashesav. He takes the stone, it's one stone. So what is it, many stones or one stone? The Medrash says, famously, that it was 12 stones, other versions in the Medrash. And at the end, it becomes one stone. And Yaakov Avinu, sleeping on it, fused it all into one. All right, that's the part that everybody knows. Then we blast off. There's a medrash in Tehillim that says that that stone, the 12, that somehow became 12, and then became one, or returned to being one, wasn't just any other stone. It's a stone that's still around today, and it's still being fought over by Muslims and Jews and everybody else. It's the Evan HaShisiyah. It's the Evan that was in the Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim. It's the Evan that the Aron HaBris, where you had the Luchas and you had the Sefer Torah, and the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanated and thundered forth to Klal Yisrael. That's the stone. And it thundered forth always, even today when there's no Beis HaMikdash. How's that possible? How could it thunder forth today when there's no Beis HaMikdash? And how could it thunder forth in the Midbar, let's say, where you had a Mishkan? So Rav Moshe had a shtickle on that also. He says that, listen, part of the story is that all of Eretz Yisrael is bent up and coupled under, folded up under Yaakov Avinu. Beis El is goes and is moved to Yerushalayim, or Yerushalayim is moved to Beis El. Apparently, this special stone is not bound by time, is not bound by space. Wherever we are, the Torah is coming from that stone. Okay, that's pretty cool. But this is the part that really slammed me over the head, like quite literally. And that's what we're going to talk about also. And this is really the Nakuda. What was it that did it? How did the 12 stones become one stone? So the Torah tells us, Vayikach me'avne hamokoyim vayosim erashoysov. He takes these 12 little stones, he puts it by his head, he puts his head down on the stones to go to sleep. Boom, they fuse into one. Why? How does that happen? So what's Yaakov Avinu's head? Yaakov Avinu's head is not any other head. It's a very special head. Yaakov Avinu, if you have the Gimel Amudei Olam, Torah, Avodah Gemilas Chesedim, Avram Avinu, Chazal teach us, Gemilas Chesedim. Yitzchak Avinu is Avodah. Yaakov Avinu, Ishtam Yoshev Oholim, is Torah. Torah, Yaakov is the head which is Torah. He's the Bechir Sheba Avis. So when that head of Torah puts itself, slams down on the 12 rocks, the 12 rocks magically become one rock. Evan Shasia, Avin Aron HaBris, the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us through all history, wherever we are, all coming from the fact that Yaakov Avinu's head rested itself and created this one stone which thunders forth to us throughout history. Okay. Ad Kan. But here's the question. Isn't that backwards? Let's say you are Yaakov Avinu. You want to learn. You go to Yeshiva Shem. You go to Yeshiva Sefer. You don't go to a place which is broken. The Yeshiva Bachar doesn't go and take 12 broken stones and form them into one. You go and you look for an Evan Shasiyah. You go and you look for an Aron HaKodesh. You go and you look for the best yeshiva and the best Rebbe and the best chavrusa and the best and the best and the best, and that's how you grow. So how is it that in order to create the makar of all Torah, right? Torah is Yisrael, not the Torah of the Avos. It's a different Torah. How is it that in order to form the Torah of Klal Yisrael, that makam haTorah, what you need is the head of Yaakov Avinu, who was already exhausting himself trying to understand the Das Elohim? How is it that you need that head to be put down on the rocks, and that's Be'etzim what does it? That creates the Makom. That creates the Evan Shasiyah. It's backwards. You should have the Evan Shasiyah, and he should go there, and he should absorb the Torah. The Geshmaka way to look at it is, what do you mean? It's a cycle. I go to yeshiva, it's a good yeshiva, I go and I learn there and I make it into a better yeshiva. I have a good chavrusa, I learn with him, he becomes a better chavrusa. So you give and you take. That's true. But that's not what we're saying over here. He takes 12 broken stones, puts down his head with his desire to learn, and whatever he did know already, everything that he got from Shem Ve'ever, and boom, those 12 become one. With a power that lasts through history. How does that happen? What's going on over here? Do you understand the answer to this? You understand that we make a very, very big mistake in the way that we look at the world. That's a fundamental mistake in this question also. Understand what the answer to this question is. You can understand the answer as to what it means to really be happy. For many years, when guys left the yeshiva, so Ner Machel, it was my job, I used to call myself the Malach HaMavis, because when a guy was leaving yeshiva, so I used to go to him with a copy of Nefesh HaChaim, and, whatever, say goodbye to him, or whatever it is, and give him his copy of Nefesh HaChaim with a letter from Ner Machel, and, that was it. They always asked, well, how come Nefesh HaChaim? Well, it's part of our Masorah, Nefesh HaChaim, go back, and Balazhin. It's true. But the thing about Nefesh HaChaim is Nefesh HaChaim is a presentation, at least, the Masorah, the Goyim, the Reb Chaim Balazhin, or the Olam HaYeshiva, is the way that we look at the world. And the Nefesh HaChaim says is that we are the Nefesh HaChaim. Klal Yisrael, each and every one of us is part of the Klal Yisrael. We're the neshama of the world. We give life to the world. Our Torah, our mitzvahs give life to the world. But it's exactly the opposite of the way that you would think. I'll tell you what I always thought until I read the book, until I went through the whole Sefer. I always thought, I daven, I learn, I do all the mitzvahs, and I get a tremendous pump from everything that I do. I mean, I love learning. I like to daven. I like to do the mitzvahs. And after I do it, I feel really holy. I feel real geschmack, if you like that word. It gives me a spiritual high. And if I live that spiritual life, so I'm going to be mashpia on the people around me. My wife, my kids, other guys in the yeshiva. And it will spread outward. So every person who keeps Torah mitzvahs is the neshama of the world. He's the Nefesh HaChaim. Together, all of us are part of Klal Yisrael. We're the epicenter of the world. We change ourselves, we change the world around us. It says the Nefesh HaChaim sounds good, but that ain't the way that it works. And he brings, of course, many, many Kabbalistic sources for this and everything like that. And that's the whole book. But Bekitzer, he says, that's not the way that it works at all. First of all, your neshama is not inside of you. So it's not like you pump up your neshama, now you're good, and then you radiate energy to the people around you. A person is here to do mitzvahs. A person's here to learn Torah. A person's here to daven. And when he does what he's supposed to do, he does mitzvahs, he learns Torah, he davens to the degree that he does it with intensity and kavana, and he's medaktik, he brings kedusha. Where does the kedusha go? Not to me, not to you, not to this table, not to this world. The kedusha stretches way upstairs to the highest of the high, to the kisei hakavod. I don't know what that means, but I know it's not here on this table, right? And it creates a power of Kedusha that slowly descends upon this world. And once it gets down here, everybody, most importantly, the one who brought it about, feels that Kedusha. But our job is not to pump ourselves up. We don't pump ourselves up with Kedusha. We don't make ourselves holy. We bring Kedusha into the world. And that goes into the Kedusha bank, which is somewhere way upstairs. And then it rains down from world to world, from level to level, until we get an Olam Hazeh. And that brings Kedusha upon us. brings Kedusha upon us as well. That's the approach to life. We're not here to pump ourselves up with Kedusha. We're not here to look for an experience. We're not here to look for a gishmak, for a holy gishmak. We're here to do what we're supposed to do, to perform, to do our job in this world that we were put here for. Memela, that creates Kedusha, and eventually it comes back down on us in this world and in the next. And if you understand that, you understand exactly why Torah being brought up to the next level by Yaakov Avinu was bedafka. It was bedafka by him putting his head down on those stones. The way that we look at it is, okay, fine, listen, I'm going to look for the perfect matzah. I'm going to find the perfect yeshiva, I'm going to find the perfect chavrusa, I'm going to find the perfect rebbe, the perfect rosh yeshiva, perfect wife, and then, you know, I'll grow. The problem is that such a thing doesn't exist. A great story with the Mashkiach, my first year, but it's another time. He says, you'll never find anybody or anything in this world that's perfect. You'll always be able to pick out something imperfect with everything. But that's not what we're here for. We're not here to find, I deserve the best. You want to solve the Shidduch crisis? Solve the Shidduch crisis in one of two ways. Number one, tell everybody that you're not going to find the perfect one. Or the other way, marriage should be a 5-year contract. So you don't have to be the best one, because it's only for 5 years anyway. Pretty cynical, but that's coming soon, unfortunately. People can't commit to anything anymore, because I deserve the best one. But life doesn't work that way. The reason that we're here is not to find the best one. The reason that we're here is to do our job, and then we make whatever we have into the best one, or better than it is now. And that's exactly what Yaakov Avinu did. Yaakov Avinu learned by shame. He learned by aver. He pumped himself up to the point that he's ready for the next level. He goes and he finds these 12 stones. He puts his head onto those 12 stones, and he creates the matzav. He creates the Evan HaShasiyah. He creates the Mokayim, which for all of history is going to be the source of Torah for Klal Yisrael, where the Dibur comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he does it. It's not handed to him. It's not a gift. He takes who he is, and he fulfills his chiyuv. And now it moves up. It moves up to the next level. That's the idea of the 12 stones, and that's the idea of the 12 of the Evan HaShasiyah. But now let's go back and ask the question again. Again, I've heard the Rosh Yeshiva say that a bachur doesn't need to be happy in yeshiva. And then he brings a proof saying that no one in Harvard seemed to care if they were happy. What's the pshat? Most people seem to say that it's important to be happy with surroundings and matzav. So what does it have to do with this? The answer is very simple. Of course a person has to be happy. A person walks around with a frown on his face all the time. You can't accomplish anything in life. But there are two possible ways of achieving that happiness. Not two possible ways. There's one possible way and there's one illusion. The illusion is that I'm going to have the best of everything. And once I get there, I will be truly happy when I have the best food and the best bed and the best chavrusa and the best rebbe and the best everything. And you spend your whole life worrying, am I happy yet? Am I happy yet? Am I happy yet? Am I happy yet? And you're never, ever happy. The second way, which works, is when a person in his life is trying to accomplish something. I'm trying to become a Ben Torah. I'm trying to become a Talmud Chacham. I'm trying to achieve something. I want to master Merubah. I want to master Agoiz Leitzim. I want to master Gzela. I want to become a Lamdin. I want to become a Yashar. I want to become a Tzadik. That's what I get up for every single day. So if you're goal-oriented, if you have a mission, you'll be happy because you're busy trying to accomplish that. You don't have time to sit and worry about the fact that the food wasn't good that night. Person who lives with that attitude, so he puts his head down on the 12 broken stones and then they fuse into one and they become something bigger and better than they were before. The person who's just looking at happiness because of, you know, mommy's going to give it to me, daddy's going to give it to me, the reshiva's going to give it to me, my charusa's going to give it to me. Nothing to do with me, though. You just bash all of the stones into little fragments, and that's how it, you know, that's how it all ends. Because nothing in life is ever perfect. Happiness comes from accomplishing a goal. I don't know if it's true in Harvard anymore. I would imagine that in Harvard today, people are also, they're trying to be part of the best fraternity and have the most geschmack and also get their Harvard degree too, so everybody can look at them as being chashuv. But I assume what's going on here is that naturally, when you go to Harvard University, your goal is to get an education so that you can do something with your life. Not to be sitting there and say, oh, am I happy yet? Am I happy yet? Am I having a good time? Is this an experience for me? No, I'm here to work and I'm here to become a doctor, lawyer, businessman, president of the United States, king of the world, whatever it is. You don't have time to sit and think about, am I happy yet? You're too busy doing important things. If a person looks at his life the way the Nefesh HaChaim says it, he's not pumping himself up so he could feel good, he could feel holy. He's here to do what he's supposed to do. He has Torah, he has mitzvahs, he has a job. He creates Kedusha. He'll become more Kaddish. Person has a self-centered attitude, even if it's a holy self-centered attitude. I'm going to make myself into the biggest lamdan, the most geschmacker, the greatest guy. The Eben Shasiyah is for me. You'll never make anything bigger than yourself. And if anything, you just crack down the Eved Shasiyah into smaller pieces. People ask on this thing also, you know, whatever. Is there ever a reason to break up with a chavrusa? I said to them, yeah, of course. Chavrusa doesn't show up. There's a reason to break up with a chavrusa. And the chavrusa is like, you know, not there mentally. You know, you can't work with that. Oh, but what if, you know, I got an offer from somebody who's going to be a better chavrusa? Is that a better idea that I, you know, just ditch my chavrusa and, you know, take the new guy? I'm not going to give you a full answer. It doesn't turn me on. You make your chavrusa better if you're serious and he's serious. You're both there, you're there to work. You trust and treat people as commodities, it doesn't take you very, very far in life. Not only as far as being a Balmidas, but also in terms of building Torah and building Kedusha. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you're here to build. You're not here to get the best for me, because that's what I deserve. It says we deserve anything. We're here to work, not to deserve. Be'ez Hashem, with that attitude, so everything that a person touches becomes bigger and better all around him. And he doesn't have expectations, you know. I'm supposed to get the best. Because that's an attitude that only leads to disaster in every single area. In friendships, in marriages, in Torah mitzvahs, in yeshiva. Person really, really wants to make it big. A person really, really wants to be a serious Talmud Chacham. People don't get there by, I'm going to become a serious Talmud Chacham by making sure that I hear Shiurim only by the best Rebbe in the world. If you're not getting anything out of your Rebbe anymore, so then he realizes it too. Okay, you have to graduate to the next Rebbe. But I'm only going to get to where if I have the best Rebbe in the world, if I have the best Chavrusa in the world, good luck, kid. It never happens. There's always somebody better, and there's always somebody, but that's not the way that you look at things. You have a job to do, you have a mission to accomplish, and if you have a single-minded focus on accomplishing that mission, you will always, always be happy. Have a good Shabbos.